The Water Street debt millage proposal is a property tax that, if approved, would generate $700,000 a year through 2031. It would help pay off the $10.3 million the city still owes on the property. Homeowners would pay $2.30 per $1,000 of taxable value. This year, the community group Citizens for IPSY collected enough signatures through petitions to place the millage on the primary ballot again after it failed last year when the city spearheaded the project. Adam Gainsley is the new campaign manager.
During the last election, there were 1,500 votes for each side, with a difference of only 39. This spring, when we went out petitioning and gathering signatures to put this on the ballot, we got over 1,000 signatures just in the couple months that we had to get out there. That tells me there's a huge amount of people out there who are interested in this that just aren't informed or haven't tuned into it yet.
Meanwhile, other voters are on the fence and have doubts when it comes to the millage. Among them is Casey Kozlowski, who wants the city to move forward but has to think about her own budget.
Like you mentioned, a lot of people say, oh, it's just easy, vote yes because we need to get rid of the debt.
Well, that would be true if I were a young professional that had a long career of a high paycheck coming in, but I'm a senior citizen and I will not outlive that bill.
The 38-acre Water Street property has seen a number of proposed developments come and go. All that stands there now is a dollar store that some in the community never really wanted. Here at the corner of Michigan Avenue and North River Street, you see 36 acres of open space, some covered by dirt, other areas by grass and wildflowers.
I am so sad because this property is going to be a tremendous asset to this community, and I thought it would be long before now.
Standing at the Water Street property, former Ypsilanti Mayor Cheryl Farmer says she is shocked that the land remains vacant. The property was purchased by the city for $12 million in 1997 to address many public safety concerns the abandoned lot created. Farmer was mayor when the purchase was made with hopes of generating property tax revenue once it was redeveloped.
There was prostitution going on down here because it was so underdeveloped and there were all these empty buildings. We had drug dealing going down. We had fires in the empty buildings.
In 2001, the city hired Biltmore Properties to redevelop the property, but after 3 years of putting together a master plan that included housing and retail space, the company wanted out of the project. Then in 2006, the next developer, Freed & Associates, also pulled out of the project as a result of a bad economy in Michigan. Farmer explains the Biltmore situation.
The people who own the firm didn't really want to do the project. It wasn't their thing. And also during that time, they discovered that some of these sites needed, remediation. But we made it a brownfield for a reason, so that they would have access to state funding to help with the cleanup.
But didn't the city have a contract? Didn't they have a contract to say you have to do this by this certain time, and if you don't, we'll get our money back? I mean, there was no contract?
I don't know how that looked. I can just tell you that the city had never done a development before. We were new at this.
When the city purchased the property, it knew it was contaminated with industrial products or chemicals known as polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs. I met up with the city's director of economic development, Beth Ernett, at the property.
The city's probably spent on the lines of about $8 million over the course of the time period from 97 through now. And that's on different environmental studies.
But Ernett says that's only the environmental cost. The city also spends about $50,000 a year on property maintenance.
We've also made bond payments. We've also refinanced bonds. There's been a significant amount of money. All in all, we're probably looking at around $30 million will be spent when the property is paid off at this point in 10 years.
To help the city, 33-year-old Ben Connerberry plans to vote yes on the Water Street millage. He's lived in Ypsilanti for 4 years now and is concerned that more budget cuts could take place if the proposal does not pass. When it failed last year, the city announced over $500,000 in cuts, including in public safety.
My concerns are that we'd see more cuts to city services. I know this year the city had to stop contributing to the pool, the senior center, and the neighborhood center. So I know that's a real comprehensive, a real concrete example of the continuing cuts we're going to start seeing.
Voter Michelle Barney will vote no at the polls, in part because she believes the city should have never bought the property knowing that it was contaminated in the first place.
It will raise my rent. I don't own property. I rent. But it will raise the rent because the landlord will get it somewhere. He's not going to give tax money for all his tenants out of the goodness of his heart. No one would expect that.
I live here too.
Back at the Water Street property, I continue chatting with former Mayor Cheryl Farmer as we look at areas of the property that have been fenced off.
What do you say to those residents who say the city was irresponsible, you know, to have purchased this land back when they did?
I think they're very short-sighted, and they're acting as if we had a crystal ball, which we did not have a crystal ball. We did a very careful analysis of our assets and our debits, and we attacked both the assets and the debits.
Beth Ernett understands why residents are frustrated, but she says the potential new project called the International Village could be the big break Ypsilanti has been waiting for decades. Many, including city officials, were blindsided by the $250 million proposal presented by the foreign group International Village Advisory. They're interested in purchasing and cleaning up the site, Ernett explains.
At this point, we're still in a due diligence period. The project as presented to City Council is to develop the property as an international village, which is a gateway for people moving into the country and also for students that are here visiting and are learning and hoping to stay within the country.
The proposed project that includes retail space and housing is great news for Eastern Michigan University, who has about 900 international students and wants to attract a lot more. Kevin Kuchera is vice president for enrollment management.
I traveled with President Smith recently in early May for a two-week trip to China. And during the course of that trip, we spoke with a lot of Chinese university officials who are looking for potential relationships with Eastern Michigan. And we oftentimes would talk about the academics. You know, what type of academic program do you see as being a good fit for your university? How could our faculty work for your faculty? But ultimately, in the end, when students make a decision to come to Michigan and to attend Eastern Michigan, you know, as I said a moment ago, they're kind of buying into not just the university, but the entire community. And I think a vibrant Ypsilanti is certainly going to be appealing to students.
City officials say the millage is needed in case the International Village project does not go through, and even if it does, it would be about 3 years before the development would be fully taxed. Ypsilanti Mayor Amanda Edmonds says more cuts will take place if the millage proposal fails again, and the police department will continue to be affected.
We are losing officers because they are working mandatory overtime. They are having to go from call to call to call. They're, of course, not being able to do the community policing that they want to do and we want to do. But really, it's being more and more difficult to attract and retain those officers we need. So, of course, then you have newer officers, you don't have the experience, etc. It's a vicious cycle.
So what's next for Ypsilanti? We'll have a better idea of that next Tuesday night after the votes are counted. Jorge Avellan, 89.1 WEMU News.